Little Hurricane are our guest tonight. They're a two-piece rock band from Sacramento whose new album Gold Fever is in stores now. In a brief four-year career, they've released three great albums, including a covers album you can download for free on their website, littlehurricanemusic.com. Tone and CeCe sat down with us to discuss their formation, Travis's movie pitch for them, and a whole lot more.
I'm like a music junkie. Like, I don't smoke and I don't drink very much, but I just buy CDs and expand my Spotify playlist. And so, like, every few years I get into this funk where, like, I just think I'm going to find a nice oldie station and just listen to Siamese Dream forever. and it's you guys, like, restored my faith in modern music because it's been one of those years where just kind of seems like everything sucks.
Thanks.
Well, so, that's a great compliment to us, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I wanted to ask you if Don't Want to Miss a Thing was included just to prove a point that you can take any shit overplayed song and make it kind of fresh and awesome. Was that because there was a lot of songs on there that I'd say they were more in your wheelhouse, and that one kind of stood out to me as an unusual selection.
Well, I before I was in a band, I was working on recording other musicians, and I was doing this thing. It was a Diane Warren project, and so I spent like a month just listening to nothing but Diane Warren songs, and so they're all stuck in my head, especially this one song. And it was almost a curse, really, that Aerosmith version of it. but so I decided to turn it into something that I thought a good song could go many different directions. So I thought I would try it a different direction and see if it worked. And I liked it, so yeah, put it on there.
Did you ever take the song and just for shits and giggles decide to like cut it into footage of Armageddon?
No, but that sounds like a great movie.
It's on our bucket list.
A lot of the questions that I had for you guys, I did research and found the answers to. But I saw that one of the funny things that was that you guys actually, CC put something on Craigslist and you responded to it.
Yeah,
I was looking for drummers, and Craigslist seemed like a great, easy, lazy place to find drummers. I don't know, they're all in one spot.
That there is like a whole community of people looking for bandmates. I just thought it was for like creepo sexual deviants and.
No, there's more to it.
People scalping baseball tickets, but
there's an actual musician section on Craigslist.
I'll be damned.
Musicians seeking musicians.
And were you guys trying to form like a two-piece band, or was there a search for a bassist and you just decided, screw a bassist?
Well, I was trying. Tone wasn't necessarily looking to form a two-piece band, but it's my first band that I've ever played in. So it felt a little less intimidating to find just one other person to play with. And he kind of liked the idea, but we did have a bass player for a little while, but at this point, it's just easier with the two of us.
That's kind of become a thing. There's a lot of two-piece bands out there now that are becoming like a big deal. Do you think that bassists of the world are pissed off at you guys?
We have received some hate mail from bass players, yeah.
But there are also plenty of bands that are just two people and a drum machine too, so
yeah. CeCe, how long did you guys play together before you were confident he wasn't going to force you into his trunk or something?
Well, I think I knew from the first meeting. So I was working at a bar at the time, and I didn't want to meet him obviously at my home in case he was that kind of So we met at the bar that I was working, and I kind of knew right away that there was a connection musically, and then we had our first practice in my living room, and once I heard him sing, I just knew that this was the person I wanted to be in a band with.
So you had a connection musically after meeting him, so it was kind of like a date, but not for romantic reasons. It was like a date where you guys talked about music and kind of feeled out like what you guys were kind of looking to do?
Yeah, influences, experience and such, so... Yeah, I guess it was a good first meeting. She didn't kill me. I didn't kill her.
I don't think I had met anyone up until that point who did music for a career. So when he said that that's how I, you know, make my money is recording bands, and I didn't really believe him. I didn't know that you could, but I think him doing that really instilled a lot of confidence in me that, okay, I found a good person, since I don't know that much about recording process or playing live shows, a good person that knows a lot about it.
Tone, when you go out on stage, do you carry your wallet with you?
No.
You leave it backstage.
That's the great thing about live music, and there's no money, there's no exchange. It's just a moment without government or money or anything. I don't know. No, I don't bring my wallet with me.
I always see it backstage, and I think, like, why do you leave your wallet backstage?
They don't have like lockers or anything back there.
No.
That's a bummer.
You just say, like, have like a guard dog like in the spot, and in case anybody tries to grab it.
So no keys, no wallet, no phone, and you just empty your pockets.
Yeah, it's liberating, actually.
The other question, I guess, that you guys probably get a lot is if you're like a couple, and I've seen that you're not, but a lot of times in your songs, it seems like, you know, there's like a conversation, like you are a couple, like you're conversing back and forth with each other. Is that like a weird thing that you're like playing the female role in a song?
Oh, I don't think so. You know, a lot of our songwriting comes sort of from storytelling, or a lot of those call and response songs are based on other stories. So, like, the ones that come to my mind would be, like, Crocodile Tears, yeah, where we're back and forth. Well, we wrote that song for a movie, for the end scene of a movie. And so the female role I'm playing in that song would be more like the female in the movie, the lead character. And I think, Give 'Em Hell is another back and forth song that is more about my little brother. And on the new album, we have Breathe, and Breathe is a song that Tone had been working on for several years, and then we thought it could use another voice. And so the story is really about his character in the song, but mine sort of is playing off a different side of that story.
Mike is the one that actually introduced me to your music, which I really do enjoy. And I kind of looked you guys up, too, and this is something that we've found. I mean, you know, previously it was always kind of looked at, especially emerging bands, that when you license your music, you know, it's a sellout kind of a thing. And it looks like to me and to the people that we've talked to, you know, recently, is that that's becoming more and more common to get your music out in front of people. And I don't know, I guess I saw that you guys had a couple of licensed songs. Like you just said, you made one for a movie, and I saw that you had one in ABC, hour-long drama.
A couple of those, I think.
So how do you go about getting that music out there? Is that just, you know, you stumble into, you know, do you actively try to get your music licensed, or does somebody approach you?
Up until this point, we have not actively tried to get the music licensed. So sure. A lot of the ABC shows or the CW shows, or we've done a few commercials, it comes to us. And usually it comes to us in a fantastic time where we're about to go on tour and we could really use some money for the road, or we need some repairs to our van or equipment upgrades. And if it doesn't seem like it's something that's offensive to us or that conflicts with our brand, we're more than happy to sell our music, because people aren't buying music as much these days. So if anybody's willing to buy it, I guess you got to take it.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Do you have people that come up to you at shows and say, dude, I discovered you guys from a Taco Bell commercial?
I mean,
is that more the priority, to get discovered through, you know, being out there, or is it more, you know, because Taco Bell's
probably a big check? I've never discovered a band on a commercial before, but we are really surprised at how many people do come to us and say, oh, I Shazammed the song and it was you guys. And now I'm at your show. So, yeah, how could we say no to that? I mean, we definitely want people to come to the shows.
And I think that's a great thing with technology now, too, where it was, you know, in the past, if there was a song that you didn't recognize on a commercial, there was almost no way to figure out who that band was. So I guess now is you're absolutely right, is with like a Shazam or something like that, you can easily track down if that tune is something you like who that band is, and where can I see them, and where can I buy their album?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
How do you guys decide what song is going to be the one you put out as like a single or something? Like you have a song that's popping up on like MTVU now every now and then. From the album that you put out, how do you select which song it is that you're going to put out there? I mean, like, because you've already made an album of songs that you like, for whatever reason you've decided these are the songs we want to, how do you then single out one song and say this is the one that we're going to put out there as like a selling point for the album?
Kind of based off people's feedback, which song people are resonating with the most. And I guess the decision for us was, which song are we going to make a music video for first, or what are we going to invest in? So the director of that Sheep and Wolf's Clothes video really thought he could put a great storyline to that song, or he thought it was cinematic, the music. So he wanted to go with that one, and a lot of people seemed to like that song, so we just went with that one. It was about that deep of a decision. We like them all, so yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of putting one out there ahead of the others.
Do you structure your albums like albums were structured in the past, or you just record a bunch of songs and put them on your album and hope that they hit? Because like when I was listening to the newest one this last weekend around a campfire, it felt like an album, you know. And it's hard for me to find those that actually feel like they're supposed to be put together in that order and played in that way. Do you try to put something together where it is a part of a whole, rather than just, you know, a bunch of your songs that you just record and say, okay, this one goes here, this one goes here, this one goes here?
The songs being cohesive together is super important for us. We write them all during the same period of time, so we feel like they should go together, like we're in the same mindset, the same vibe. But when it comes down to releasing the album, we try listening to it in all sorts of different configurations, and whatever one flows the best or feels the best or keeps it moving in the way we wanted to is the way we go with. So yeah, I'm glad you appreciate it.
What was that thing with the Star Wars machete order?
The machete order.
You watch the Star Wars movies in a different order and you get a totally different experience.
Right.
Well, when we record the songs, we do a bunch of different versions, like different instrumentation and such, but I don't really show them to my friends.
Well, and there's a few that we recorded from this particular session that didn't make the cut. So, like, one of those songs we had a rapper in.
A rapper?
Yeah, like a rapper. He rapped a verse.
Like a 90s Nate Dogg kind of
rap.
Yeah,
he kind of sounded like Nate Dogg. And we really liked it, but some other people maybe didn't react as well. And I don't know if it would have been as cohesive if we would have, you know, put that song on there.
I think listening to it as an album, like I said, I think it would have been very jarring to all of a sudden have somebody busting a rhyme in the middle of a song.
Is that like one that you could throw out there to go on a soundtrack or something? Recorded it, right? So it's
yeah, we recorded it, and I could probably email it over to you guys. I think we released that one to some of our fans in advance of the album coming out, just as a bonus. But I'll send it your way, and you could take a listen.
That's excellent. I think most of this interview is Mike trying to get exclusive tracks and variations of ones that he's already heard.
Done deal.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, I really just kind of wanted to. Your story is fairly unique as far as I've ever heard. And what I thought, I wanted to pitch you guys a movie based on your story. Obviously, we're going to take some liberties. So this is like more, you've seen the movie once, right?
Yeah.
So we're gonna take a proactive version of that. And they didn't just stumble upon each other in a music store and then it like hit. So this is what I got. And then we can cast it and you can add to it if you'd like to. But I'm going to have this Midwest girl. She's not content, you know, her family, she's got a good family, they're very supportive, but she's just not finding a life in the Midwest for herself. So she moves out to LA, she starts working as a bartender, she plays for the house band of the bar, so you get rotating musicians in there and she's playing the drums, but what she really wants to do is write her own music. So one day she decides, what the hell, she's going to post an ad to Craigslist. So she goes through a bunch, and we have a montage of different musicians coming in to play with her. And we do get some creepy ones. You know, we get it's just a weird montage of musicians. So she finally stumbles on this guy, and they hit it off right away. So everything's good. And this guy's got to have, like, a fun, like, day job. Like, he, like, whittles, I don't know.
Something quirky. He doesn't just work at a coffee shop. It's got to be something weird.
It's got to be quirky. You know, I remember like Coyote Ugly, that movie Coyote Ugly. I think that guy had like some kind of weird, maybe he collected comic books. That was his work.
Okay. Like a taxidermist or something.
But he only does that to, I don't know, like squirrels or something, but he puts them in funny poses. That's good. Like that. So he does that. They hit it off really well. They start playing together. They start playing in the bar that she works at. They're now the headliner every weekend of that bar. So they start climbing up. They get noticed. They start moving into bigger venues. They start getting big. The whole time they're forming this really, really tight friendship. maybe a little bit of romance, but you don't want to, like, you know, blow your load on the romance right away.
Okay, okay. One of them has to have a drug addiction at some point, like a really, really bad one. And then the other one helps them out of it, right?
Oh, no, no, no. See, I want to go with something
more drama,
you could, like,
Travis.
I want something you could cast, like, Catherine Heigl in. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Sugar addiction, maybe.
Yeah, so it's got to be something, you know, it costs $10 million to open, but, you know, it closes out at, like, $30, $40 million at the box office
because
it's an endearing romance. So anyway, so they start climbing. You know, they get an agent, they get a manager. He starts courting her a little bit more than the group themselves. She gets a lot of press. You know, she's on covers of magazines. She's out with stars at restaurants, and he's kind of left in the lurch,
even though
he's supposed to show up and play the music with her. But she gets courted off VIP treatment, and he's going back and he's eating SpaghettiOs, you know, while he's seeing her on TV with these other people.
So this is like, she just became Gwen Stefani, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Sure. Sure. So the rift forms, you know, and she gets, you know, she starts dating some, like, athletes and things, and she's just not feeling it. The music's not there anymore. They're playing the same songs over and over. There's none of the creativity. And then she remembers how good she felt with the guy that she was forming the romance with. They go back. They ditch their shitty agent. They start playing. They play one show at the bar that they started out in, and it's the big musical set piece of the end. They don't kiss, but you get, like, a vibe from them, you know, while they're playing the music, and it's like it's always supposed to have been like that.
So the only similarities between their actual story, so we're going to use their music, I assume.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, their music is going to be the set piece for this ridiculous farce that you've just thrown out there.
It's a whole new soundtrack, though.
Okay.
It's all new music.
Oh, great. Yeah, so get to work on that, guys. Thanks.
Wow, you've thought a lot about this.
Well, as soon as Mike told me how you guys formed, I thought it was a very interesting story, and I thought it absolutely sounded like a not necessarily a rom-com, but like one of those, like I said, like a Katherine Heigl movie, but obviously some romance forms based out of that.
Yeah. Well, you can always make a Craigslist Killer Lifetime movie out of it.
You could go a whole different route, and then when she goes on Craigslist, she thought he was the perfect bandmate.
The movie's really 8 minutes long.
Well, you know, he's killing
people. She puts a Craigslist ad out there, guy shows up, kills her, steals her drums, the end.
No, I think he's killing people on the side the whole time that they're playing gigs.
Yeah.
Or maybe he really just wants to be a female drummer and he's finding a body to steal and wear.
Whoa, dark.
Are you about a size 13?
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Hiding body parts in drum shells.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to write that down.
Okay. Hiding body parts, that is good. Do you think that would make, like, a unique sound?
Yeah. Dead sounding.
Yeah, like, it would deaden it a bit.
Having limbs in your bass drum flopping around?
Sharpened cymbals as a death machine. That could be something.
I love that, too. You should write a horror script.
Shit. Well, maybe I think Indiana Jones already took that.
Oh.
Temple of Doom.
This took a really interesting turn.
Yeah, is this Travis still on the radio? What's going on?
I might edit that whole thing out.
Are you going to edit my movie pitch, Mike?
Yeah, I'm editing that out. That was ridiculous.
Oh.
You don't want someone to rip it off.
Yeah.
That's right. You're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just have to put, like, an audio watermark in there somewhere.
Yeah. We'll have to sign confidentiality agreements at the end of this conversation.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to plug while you're on here? I mean, obviously the new album.
And that new movie.
And the new movie. I think it's releasing against Star Wars in 2015.
Nice.
Same weekend?
Same weekend, but they're going to get spillover because not everybody's going to get their girlfriend to go to Star Wars.
Right, right. The girls are going to be like, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, you guys go see Star Wars. We're going to go see this sweet, sweet little hurricane.
Did you come up with a name for it?
No, I'll have to think about it. Unless you guys can come up with a name for that.
I'll have to brainstorm a bit.
Napier, you got the name for it. This is your big moment, Napier.
Close us out, Napier.
Close us out, Napier. What's the name of the movie?
How about Awkward Pitch followed by Nobody Wants to Talk to Us Anymore?
Death List.
Little Harry Slane.
No.
I like Set List. Let's go with Set List as a tentative title.
It's not all bad. Right. It's not bad.
It's like Craigslist and Set List. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I didn't get that before.
Yeah.
It's way better.
I'm always operating on two different levels, Mike.
LittleHurricaneMusic.com, but if you Google Little Hurricane, you can find any of our stuff online.
And are you guys on Twitter? Do you want to plug your Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter handle and Instagram is just at Little Hurricane, and same thing on Facebook. We're just Little Hurricane.
And you guys aren't currently on tour?
We have some East Coast dates coming up in September, and for now that's all we have, but we're just back in the studio writing some more.
Sounds great.
Again, I think that was Mike reaching that you would like stop off by his house and play him a set or something.
Yeah, can you guys just come play in my backyard?
Sure.
Sounds fun, right? My birthday is next weekend. You guys just said you're not doing anything. All right. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.